Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Shares in the tech company Slack soared last week on its first day of public trading. If you're not familiar with Slack, it's that app that for a small fee allows a workplace to group employees together to communicate. The idea being instead of email and texts and phone messages, all inter-office communication can be in a single place on a phone, computer, or tablet. It's a miracle, or maybe it's not. For more, let's go to our weekly guide to the world of tech, Recode. Ronnie Mola is data editor at Recode. She joins us now. And Ronnie, do you use Slack?
I do.
Okay.
Every day.
So you're going to be able to weigh in. I don't, because I'm the only one on my team that can't figure out how to do it. Having to do with somebody signing me up under the wrong something a long time ago.
You might be better off.
Well, that's what we're finding out. But let's back up, because it would appear on paper to be doing well. The company's been given a valuation of more than $21 billion. So first start with the why. Why are companies so bullish on Slack?
Well, Slack has about 600,000 users, I think it is, and many of the people who do use it love it. It's sort of a cultish sort of thing. It enables all of the disparate workers who now work, you know, all over the country or all over the world, and we call these people knowledge workers, people who do sort of these non-routine cognitive tasks, let's say journalism or engineering and things like that, and they're all sort of mediated by a computer. So in order to make all of these businesses work, you have to be able to communicate quickly and easily with your colleagues around the world. Slack enables that.
Because it's all in one place. You're just slacking each other like crazy. But maybe too much. Talk about that, the negative impact.
Well, I think the first idea behind Slack was it was supposed to replace email. But now we're emailing still, we're messaging in a bunch of different platforms, we're also Slacking too much. The thing with Slack is that it actually made it so easy to message your colleagues that we're getting this surfeit of information where you're communicating more than necessary. Sometimes you're just sending a funny GIF. Sometimes you're just trying to weigh in on a conversation that isn't necessarily necessary. So there's a lot of really good and important communication that happens on it. But I argue that because there's no guidelines for how to use it necessarily, sometimes companies just get Slack and then they are set free in the Wild West. They just message people all the time. It's actually become a waste of time, and it gets in the way of people being able to do deep, concentrated work.
Well, you quote people who say just that. Here's Sarah Peck, who's founder and executive director of Startup Pregnant. She says, we're just moving email to another place. It's less searchable. Here's somebody who researched when Slack went down and people had to use something called Rescue Time. They behaved more productively than they had when they were using Slack. Why? Is it because there's so much of it?
There's a sort of addictive quality about Slack in that you're always sort of expecting to get this little buzz like, oh, someone's messaging me, someone's saying something important, or there's a conversation going on here. One of the companies I looked at that gave me data about how larger companies use Slack, and it said something like the people working there wouldn't have time in a single day to read all of their messages and channels that they belong to.
Well, how might this kind of reporting affect, you know, this other good news we're hearing about Slack, that it's, you know, investors are loving it. It's gotten praise for the diversity of its workforce. Almost half are women, a much higher percentage of Black and Latino professionals compared to other Silicon Valley companies. So, you know, what do you think the impact of these negative stories will be?
Well, first of all, that means that a lot of competitors have popped up out of the woodwork who've tried to either make an anti-Slack or who like Slack and just want to improve it. So Slack has been very open with third-party developers and let them develop other apps that work with Slack to make it better. The thing with that is you also have all these competitors, especially big competitors like Microsoft and Google, who have scale that Slack doesn't. If you look at Microsoft, they already have so many customers who use the Office suite, and for free, they could get Microsoft Teams as part of the Office suite. Or so many people use Google and G Suite and Google Docs and Gmail and all of their other products. You know, it seems like sort of like a simple thing to just go trade over and use their workplace software. And all of these companies are copying and expanding on what Slack has already done. Well, and then the smaller companies are the ones who are doing much more nimble work. I think we're making the bigger changes and are much more radical ways of thinking about workplace tech and workplace communication software. So you also have potential competition from those?
Well, in the meantime, there's a bit of a trap here. I mean, some companies, people may, I'm sure we're going to hear from listeners saying, we love our Slack. But if you don't, it's hard to quit it because if your office is relying on it, you can't.
Right. It's not like Facebook where you could say, oh, you know, this is making my life less good. I'm going to quit it. It's harder to say, I'm going to quit Slack because, you know, that's your job. That's your livelihood. Mm. That's how you work.
That's Ronnie Mola, data editor at Recode on Slack. We'll keep an ear on this. Ronnie, thank you.
Thank you very much, Robin.
And by the way, we mentioned that there are fees for using Slack. Check it out because it's there are different kinds of
different tiers. I mean, it's all a new world. We use Slack right here.
And
some of us do. I was just reading a book, though, that makes me want to use something like that more because it said when you send somebody an email, you're asking them to do work for you. And then when they respond, they're asking you to do work for them.
Ah.
So it's easier when you have this instant message service that just gets rid of it all at the end of the day. You don't have to worry about it.
I mean, they couldn't have been thinking because people who use Slack are not slackers. We can tell you
exactly.
That. Here now is a production of NPR and WBUR in association with the BBC World Service. I'm Robin Young.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is Here and Now.